Hey everyone, I'm Scott Branley.
And I'm Alicia Coakley. Every member of the church has a story to share, one that can instill faith, invite growth, and inspire others.
On today's episode, we're going to hear how a 30-year addiction and near suicide led one man to discover that the commandment of self-love can help win the battle against the adversary. Welcome to Latter-day Lights. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Latter-day Lights. We're so glad you're here with us today. And we're really excited to introduce our guest, Trevor Henninger. Trevor, how are you today?
Doing really great, thank you.
Yeah, did we say that in that last... It's Scott. Did Scott pronounce... Henninger, I was going to say it. I think Scott botched that.
Like Stevens Henninger College, yeah.
Oh, it is Henninger. The N is silent.
Yeah, that's why I was saying everybody spells it wrong because it's...
Yeah.
Henninger.
Oh. Henninger.
All good.
That's okay. We'll keep Scott on as a host, I suppose.
Yeah. At least one more time anyways.
I only have to do it one more time? Sweet.
This one more time right here, since we're already recording, you know.
Yeah.
There you go.
No, this is fun. This is a fun gig.
Yeah.
Trevor, yeah. So we were talking before the show and discovered that we actually grew up in Alberta, not maybe 15 minutes away from each other. That's pretty crazy. And yeah, now we both live in Utah.
Yep.
Yeah, you guys could have been best friends. You know that?
There
could be a whole separate universe out there where you guys exist as best friends. What do you think about that?
That couldn't happen because I grew up in McGrath and he grew up in Raymond and they are huge rivals. So we would actually be enemies.
Right. We would have had to meet each other and then make up or something later. I don't know.
Gotcha.
We could be secret friends, I guess, as long as nobody else knew.
Right. Yeah, although it's funny because I was born in McGrath and lived in Raymond, so I guess does that mean I'm an enemy with myself? I don't know.
Yeah. Now we're just going down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
Right.
So Trevor, tell us a little bit about yourself.
So let's see. Grew up in Raymond, Alberta, Canada. I've lived kind of all over the place. I married an American citizen, served my mission in the New Hampshire mission, mostly in Maine and Vermont. And then met my wife in Vermont, actually. And then we were married in Alberta and then kind of lived all over the U.S. after that. And we have three children, ages 23, 20, and 15.
Nice. That's kind of about
in Alberta too.
Wow. Oh,
in the Cardston Temple.
Yep.
Yep.
Me too. Yep,
I'm just going to let you guys talk. I mean,
right. Alicia's down in Texas all by herself. Sorry.
That would be a rarity, Alicia, because usually you're one that talks. So
I know. I was going to say, like, so far, I don't know. I have hair, and that's like what I have in common with Trevor right now. So.
Ouch. Oh,
that's Scott. It. Oh, Scott right, knows I love him.
Yeah, I'm the only one with hair in my family too, so it's all good.
There you go.
Awesome. What do you do for a living, Trevor?
I actually drive a dump truck full-time. There's a lot of construction here down in the southern Utah. St. George area is growing really, really fast. That's what I do to pay the bills. But what I'm passionate about is coaching men. Been a men's coach for a couple years now. So I'm moving into that hopefully full time in the next few months.
But, awesome.
That's the goal. So
love it. I love it. I'm a huge advocate of coaches. I feel like I just love to surround myself with them. Because they're so good at like giving perspective, no matter what area you're coaching in. Like, I feel like coaches just have this like different level of thinking that I love being around. So I always am excited whenever I meet a new life coach or whatever kind of, you know, coach you want to call yourself. Men's coach, right?
I think what I love about that perspective, I love the analogy I use is like it's like we get stuck in a forest. Have you ever like been lost in a forest? But you turned around, you're like, where am I? There's trees everywhere. I can't tell which way I came from, you know, if you're not paying close attention, right? Well, a coach is like the guy in the helicopter or girl up in the helicopter, and they can see you from way up high, and they can actually see where you're meant, where you need to go. And so they can tell you, go straight or turn right, or, you know, and they can just guide you to where you're trying to get. And it's just by having a different perspective, it changes everything.
Yeah, exactly. I like that. I haven't been lost in a forest, but I've been lost in Lubbock. I still use my GPS. I've lived here for like 7 or 8 months now, and I still have to use my GPS. I got lost bringing my kid to work, which I've done 4 or 5 times every week for the last few months. And I went the wrong way the other day. I'm like, oh, dang it. So I don't know about forests, but we did have a guest that did get lost in the forest. One of our early guests, Caden Laga. You should definitely go watch his episode, because it is the craziest story. I'm sure he would have really loved to have someone in a helicopter too. Guide him out coach. Of that.
I think it's like the Boy Scouts, you know, as a kid, we were always in the forest, in the mountains and stuff. So it's even easy to get lost.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
for sure.
Awesome.
Well, cool. Well, Trevor, we're excited to hear your story today, man. So why don't we turn this time over to you?
Thank you. All right. Well, I started... probably like many young men in the LDS Church, with a pornography addiction back in when I was in my early teens, probably like 13 or 14. I did everything that I was told to overcome that addiction, but it didn't work. I prayed all the time, studied the scriptures all the time, confessed to my bishop. Listen to hymns, you know, like did everything that I was told was needed in order to overcome, but it never worked. And sure, I'd be able to like willpower through it for a few months at a time, or even, you know, for a couple of years while I served the mission. But it wasn't, it was still there. It still came back. That sort of a thing can really affect a person. And it really affected my relationship with God. I felt betrayed. I felt like no matter what I did, I couldn't overcome it. So back about 7 years ago, 2016, I hit a really low point in my life where I was actually unemployed. My wife and I and the kids were living in a travel trailer, which is really tiny.
Been there, done that.
Right. Which it's cheap living, right? So you can actually survive, but it's just definitely not the best sort of
living. It wasn't even that cheap for us, but it was hard. Yeah. Yeah. It was really hard. So,
yeah, it's super tough. You don't have the privacy that you want. You don't have, you know, a lot of the things that you would have normally, like your own bedroom, you take for granted, right? Yep. But yeah, I was also struggling. So I was struggling with a lot of things, but one of them was the pornography. What I was going through this point of, I wasn't going to act out in the pornography. So I was willpowering through it. Right. And I scheduled my suicide. So one of the other things I was going through because of all the stress, not being able to pay my bills, not supporting my family, I felt worthless, if you would, you know, in the world. I wasn't able to really do what I felt like was my responsibility as a man, was to provide for my family. So I felt pretty worthless. I didn't love myself. I ended up developing shingles. I don't know if anybody here has ever had shingles before. It usually doesn't happen until you're much older in life. 60s or later is more common age. I was like 38 or so. And shingles, it was the worst pain I've ever felt in my life. Like the skin on my back and sides, rib cage area just hurt so bad. Oh. And so I had all these, you know, medications and things that they wanted me to take, which I wasn't taking because I didn't want to get addicted to opioids. but anyways, I was like, well, I just can't deal with this any longer. I really fell into the depths of despair. So I scheduled my suicide for an evening where my wife and kids were going to be gone to like young men's, young women's, that sort of thing, and really society activities and stuff. And I was just going to take all my pills. I had a whole bunch of different, you know, and I was just going to, because I didn't want it to be messy. And then I received a text just a few minutes before, like, everybody was gone. So I was getting ready to do it. And I received this text that said, "What's wrong?" Wow. And, you know, I don't know exactly why that text came in. It doesn't really matter. But the point was, that text to me felt to me like God was telling someone to reach out to me. And that someone actually cared, because I didn't believe that anybody really cared enough for me to stick around. And so it was, that was huge for me, obviously. I didn't go through with it. But it started me on a journey of trying to figure out what was wrong. Like, why was I doing this? And why was everybody else doing, like, committing suicide? Like, I just heard a statistic the other day. It's like, it's a suicide every, I think, 6 seconds or something in the world. Jeez.
And isn't it a high rate of it is men, right? Like,
yes. Yes.
Men over.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up. Actually, in the church itself, there's the different organizations. You have the Relief Society, you have the Elders Quorum, Young Men's, Young Women's, Primary. Those are the different, you know, sections of the church, right? Different organizations. And the Elders Quorum is the highest, has the highest rate of suicide in the church. And it's actually also the lowest budget. The Elders Quorum has the lowest budget in the church too, which I feel is actually part of the problem. Men need to be able to get together and develop friendships and bond with each other. I know it seems weird, you know, women just naturally do that, but men actually need like some help. For some reason, we just don't automatically do it. You know, you go to one of those activities and the women all just, they all just, you know, collect together and talk, and the guys are just like off by themselves, you know?
Right.
Yep.
For some reason, we just need a little help. So, you know, anyways. But I discovered that over going to some different seminars, started reading books avidly in this area, and really discovered that what I was truly lacking was self-love. It's interesting because we see what they call the great commandments are love God, love thy neighbor as thyself, right? And we often forget the thyself part, which is pretty foundational for loving the neighbor as thyself, as ourselves. We need to love ourselves first in order for that to happen. And, you know, I don't mean like loving yourself. If I was to ask anybody 99% of the time, people, like, do you love yourself? Oh, yeah, of course I do. You know, like, there's no question, right? But then I might phrase the question, do you truly love yourself, like every part of you? The good, the bad, the ugly, the sinner, you know, every part of yourself. Because that's what loving yourself truly, truly is. You know, I can love myself superficially. I can always love the parts that do good, you know.
Right.
But do I love the parts that screw up? The part of me that kept acting out with the pornography addiction? That's a lot harder, right?
Yeah.
Of course, God loves that part of me. God loves every part of me unconditionally, and all of us, right? He would have, like, he gave his son to the atonement of Jesus Christ for all of us. And even if there's just one of us on earth, he would have given his life for any one of us. So,
yeah.
But do we love ourselves the same the way that he loves us? You know, that's what I discovered. And through my research, I also discovered what some people call nice guy syndrome. And it was really kind of weird. I was like, oh, nice guy syndrome. I'm like, I'm a nice guy. Like, yeah, of course. I must have that. And it was true. I did. Mm-hmm. Big time. And what I realized, nice guy syndrome is just people who are trying to make others happy. They're trying to please others. They're trying to be, what they're doing in essence is searching for external validation. I hope I'm not shooting all over the place and confusing people, but I wanted to let everybody know, like, the pornography addiction is because I didn't love and validate myself. I was constantly looking for external validation, and the pornography would give that to me temporarily. The woman on the screen wasn't going to reject me. She wasn't going to say no. She was always going to be there no matter what. When I was struggling, there was always going to be that external validation. And so I might look at it and say, well, that's a bad thing. It's a coping mechanism, right? It's just like anything else. Right. Some people use TV as coping mechanisms, or social media, or food, or mm-hmm. whatever. You know, we all have our coping mechanisms, whatever we're coping with. But the problem that I found was that it was the deep down foundational belief was that I didn't love myself. And yeah. So the
pornography addiction was the bleeding, but it wasn't the actual wound, right?
Correct. Yeah, it was just a symptom. The mm-hmm. wound or the problem, the foundational problem was that I didn't love myself.
Right. That makes sense.
And so once I actually learned to truly love myself, even the part of me that was acting out, that's when I was able to just walk away from the addiction. Wow. Because I didn't need it anymore.
Well, so what did that look like? I know you said you started reading a whole bunch of books and stuff. Like, what kind of things did you read? Was it all gospel centered, or did you start branching out and reading other things? You know, and I guess how long did that process for you take to where you felt like, okay, I understand what the problem is. I need to love myself too. Okay, I feel like I'm doing a good job loving myself now.
That's a good question. Actually, very few of the books were gospel-centered or LDS books. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that's not something that in the church that people really understand. And that's why I believe about 70-80% of men in the church struggle with pornography. 70-80% is a massive number. I believe it's right around there, and it's an epidemic. there's a lot of books. I mean, Learning to Love Yourself by Gay and Kathleen Hendricks. There's so many. No More Mr. Nice Guy. By Dr. Robert Glover. Those were a couple of books that really helped me out. I'm trying to think. I read about a book a week.
Oh, good.
So, nice. Because I'm now a men's coach, I'm like always trying to learn and discover how I can better be that instrument in God's hands of how I'm helping men to become a better version of themselves and overcome mm-hmm. their struggles. Yeah, so I'm kind of drawing a blank on the books, but there's a lot of them out there. And if anyone wants to reach out to me, I'd be happy to share a whole bunch of books that can help you with those areas, those things. But
so along with what Alicia said, like, what did the process look like or feel like loving yourself? Like, how did that happen?
It's a good question. I don't know if I've really thought about that before. It's one of those things that, like, it kind of just, because it took years, even after discovering it took years, because no one was teaching me. No one was coaching me. It was like, I was just kind of discovering it, like a little bit at a time. like through mm-hmm. each book or each podcast or each seminar that I go to, I just discovered a little bit more. And it was really interesting because once I did discover, like figured out that I needed to truly love myself deep down, every part of myself, that's when I started really developing my relationship with God. I feel like what happens is when we don't love ourselves, we kind of, at least for me, I was really like kind of in a survival frame of mind, if you will. Because I was constantly trying to get love from other people. And so, you know, when that's the case, you tend to manipulate people, trying to get them to love you, you know, because you don't really know how to love yourself. So you're just like, hey, love me, you know? So you're doing all these things. That's where the nice guy syndrome comes in, right? Just this constant, like, digging for more love, fishing for compliments, fishing for, you know, all the different things that might represent love. It's really not true unconditional love, but anything would, you know, be helpful. And when you're in that mode, I kind of like to compare it to the analogy. I remember who it was that talked about the welfare program, but whoever it was that developed the welfare program within the church, he said something to the effect of people have a really hard time focusing on their spiritual life, their relationship with God, if you will, if they can't meet their own physical needs. And so that's when the church came out with the welfare program, was to help people who are really struggling financially or being able to meet their needs, whether it's their home or food or whatever. The church would help step in to help meet those needs so that way they could focus on what's truly important, which is their spiritual welfare, right? And so when people don't love themselves, I feel like it's the same type of thing. They're in this desperation of survival mode or whatever you want to call it. And so they can't really focus on their relationship with God because they don't even have a relationship with themselves. But yeah, so part of what I do as a men's coach, I coach all Christian men. It's not just LDS. But you notice in the background, I've got a sword, a bow. You've got a hatchet over here. Mm-hmm. You've got the man, you know, up there, the golden man, and it's just different. Like it's because it's very much, I like to focus on the battle because, you know, in the church we're taught, hey, there's Satan's real, you know, we had a battle in the premortal life and we won. And so we got bodies, right? We got to come to earth. But that's kind of like the extent of it. You know, we might talk about, well, you'll get tempted by Satan or whatever. But it doesn't really, the church doesn't really go into details of how to battle the devil. And one of the things that he loves to do is make himself disappear. You think about society mm-hmm. doesn't even believe he exists. So right. How much easier is it for him to win the battle with us when we can't even tell he's there? You know,
well, even more so than that, he doesn't just disappear. He camouflages himself as if he's us. Mm-hmm, right. So he makes us believe our thoughts are his thoughts or our thoughts. And it's exactly. Like, whoa, wait a minute. Like, he's so stealthy. He's so stealthy, you know.
I call him the world's greatest ventriloquist.
Yes, exactly. I say that all the time. And it's so true. It's so true. He really, really is. See, we're all just connected. Maybe we're all supposed to be friends. I know. Right? Yeah.
I love that. I've never thought of it that way, but it's true. Because, I mean, he actually gets you to think and say things almost as if it's you saying them.
Yeah. You believe so hardcore. Well, this is my feeling. And you're like, is it?
He really likes to isolate us because that's how he takes us out. That's how he gets us to commit suicide, for example, mm-hmm. because he isolates us. He tells us nobody loves you. Nobody cares. Your problems, you know, about your problems or about you or whatever. He does whatever he can to isolate us. And it's just like any other battle. If you are all by yourself fighting against a battalion, him and his minions, like a whole bunch of evil spirits, who do you think is going to win? It's not rocket science. You're going to lose. Yeah. In a real battle, you are going to lose if it's you on 10, 20, 100 men, you know, forget it. And so we have to constantly be aware and be vigilant, you know, in fighting these battles. Otherwise, you know, and otherwise we're going to lose. And the thing is, like, how do you do that by yourself? You don't. You bond with other men or women with women or whatever. Get friends who believe the same way you do, in the sense that, hey, like, when I'm struggling, I'm going to reach out to my friends. I've got a group of men that I can reach out to, and I can send a message. And I know that any one of them is going to call me within seconds or a couple minutes. Hey, what can I do to help you out? You know, do you have those kind of friendships when you're struggling that you can reach out and they're just going to call you, going to drop anything and everything, you know, and be able to reach out to you for help? Because that, it makes all the difference in the world.
Well, yeah, and I love that you mentioned insight. Yeah, I love how you mentioned earlier just about, like, the budget for Elders Quorum, right? And how Elders Quorum, yes, like, you guys have this huge responsibility to take care of the families in the ward. Like, your ministering assignments are for the families, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas women, we have our ministering assignments just for the sisters. And I do think that there's definitely is a gap there that can definitely be filled with priesthood holders, with men in particular, in creating more opportunity for you guys to do things that just strengthen your relationships. You know, yes, you guys have to serve because that's part of being a priesthood holder. Like, we definitely need to have those opportunities. But also, I love the idea, like, Relief Society does it all the time. Like, we just had a dinner the other night where we learned crafts and we ate food and then we talked about ministering. You know, and it really helped us to build relationships with one another and everything like that. And yes, it did still teach us to serve. But I don't see a lot at all ever of Elders Quorum getting together and just having something for you men where you can enjoy your time together, but you can also learn how to serve or to improve yourself in some way. I just don't really see that. I've even seen in the past where Elders Quorum's budgets have been taken and put into, like, a ward activity or to, you know, oh, we're just going to give this to, you know, the youth for girls camp or, right, you know, whatever it is. And it's sweet that they are willing to do that. But I do think that you're right, that there's a stigma that men can, like, a real man can do it himself and he doesn't need anyone else. And that's not the case. Right. Like, we know, and here, okay, this is going to be my pedestal. Jesus Christ surrounded himself with a bunch of other men, and they went fishing together. Yep. They went on long walks. They went out to dinner. They also served, right? But they did have this actual relationship one with another, and they talked about everything. It wasn't just Christ, you know, preaching all the time. There were questions that were being asked, and there was a lot of reflection on, like, the disciples' parts. And so I do think that you're 100% right. Like, Elders Quorum, start using your budget to hang out and to do stuff together and make it, like, a priority to incorporate, you know, that manly relationship and stuff like that. So let me ask you both, because I think that a lot of the times people think that in order to be a godly man, you have to be, like not just humble, but, like, almost weak. Mm-hmm. Right. So what do you guys think when you think about Christ and when you think about your Heavenly Father and you think about really living up to that role as a godly man, what does that look like to you guys?
Before I answer that question, I wanted to say on the last point with the Elders Quorum, it's hard to organize guys together. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's that drive to, like, we feel like we have to work all the time or provide. But it is kind of hard to get us together and do an activity. But I do have to say, the things that I remember the most as far as elders activities is when somebody was in need and we could get together and all go help, and it felt like we were all in it together and we were doing something good together, and that was a good bonding experience.
For sure. I agree. I mean, I don't know that the Elders Quorum budget really helps a whole lot. I think it's about $100 a year for most Elders Quorums that I've seen. That's basically nothing. When you've got 50 men, Like, how $100 is like, you know, and then the last time we had an Ellis Quorum activity was before COVID. You know, like that's the last time I remember ever having an Ellis Quorum activity. So that was, that's like, what, 4 years ago? You know, yeah, that's so sad.
On that same token, I would love to have a relationship with the elders in my quorum. Like, mm-hmm. it would be nice to have some true friends. And I do feel like they would have my back. But just to take it to the next level where it's, you know, where you actually have a personal friendship with them would be mm-hmm. nice.
Yeah.
Which is why I like what you're doing, Trevor. And then as to your other question, Alicia, I don't feel like I'm like being, you know, being a good father or priesthood holder makes me weak. Although it could maybe be perceived as weakness because I am, you know, like all the attributes of, you know, Christ-like attributes are like peace, long-suffering,
right.
you know, gentleness, meekness, kindness, right? There's, it's not like asserting your authority or, you know, like being defensive or assertive. Mm-hmm. Like that's, those aren't the attributes that Christ, that you think of when you think about Christ or the church. So, but it might come across that way, but I don't feel that that makes me weak. I don't know. What do you think, Trevor?
Yeah. No, definitely. So I guess one of the things we do in Rise Undaunted, we have groups of men, right, all over the place. Like we meet on Zoom, but we also, if we have enough guys in the local area, then they get together on a regular basis, like weekly, and they spend time together. And my groups, literally 12 is the maximum for a local group. Because I know, like you said, Scott, how hard it is to get 50 guys to show up. And, yeah, right. You know, right. like you're not going to have very many guys because all our schedules are all over the place, right? We all have responsibilities. And so, like, maybe in Elders Quorum, we could take districts and we could say, this district does an activity and that district does an activity. It'd be a lot easier, you know, and then that would also bond that district together, like create like a group of, where they, you know, kind of have each other's backs. Because the smaller the group, the more intimate the close relationship's going to be. That's part of the problem that we're having in the Elders Quorum now, is that they combined Elders Quorum with the high priest. So now the group is massive. It's so mm-hmm. huge. And part of the, what we struggle with as men is we don't really, like I'm just saying, we don't really have a safe place to share. You know, we're thinking they're going to judge us because mm-hmm. we had a pornography addiction. You know, and we were right. taught that right. we're not supposed to reveal our sins from the pulpit, et cetera, et cetera. There's so much tradition and misunderstandings. I think Elders Quorum needs to be that place where men can safely share something they're struggling with. I've noticed that anytime anybody ever does share something personal in Elders Quorum, then other guys will start to share some things that they're mm-hmm. struggling with as well, because they're waiting to see if it's a safe place.
Right.
They're waiting. That guy just shared that, like, oh, and nobody actually jumped down his throat or like judged, you know, nobody said anything. And so maybe I can actually share too, you know, like men need a safe space, mm-hmm. just like women do, you know, it's, mm-hmm. it's no different. But as far as like one of the things, so we have what's called a Divine King Manifesto in Rise Undaunted. And we have like these different principles that we live by that help us to really, make us into what I call a divine king. One of the principles is, I am humble enough to change when others illuminate my gaps, and I courageously help others do the same. Here's another one. I have the integrity to take responsibility for every aspect of my life and don't give my power to others by passing the blame. There's just a lot of different things that we work on constantly together to support and love and become the best version of ourselves. I think the best example, like our first principle is, I choose to follow and strive to emulate Jesus Christ, the perfect example of a divine king. Because literally, he is the perfect example. He served mm-hmm. others when they needed to be served. And if you remember, when the people were disrespecting the temple. He did what was necessary to actually stop the people from disrespecting that temple. And the strength, the masculine strength came out when it needed to actually set things right.
So, yeah. Well, and along that line, Trevor, like, what's the, you know, tell us more about your program. How does it work? If somebody needs to help, how do they get involved?
Sure. They can simply go to riseundaunted.com. That's the website. And then there's a spot, just gives a quick description, click join us. It'll take you to the Vander Brothers program. I tried really hard to create this program to be free. And what I noticed is is free doesn't work. Because there needs to be some skin in the game. There needs to be something to get the man to actually want to be there to show up for himself, to actually become a better version of himself. And when it was free, I tried it for free for a whole year, and it just basically collapsed on itself. You know, there was a couple of guys who showed up, but there was just so many that were there for the wrong reasons that it just ruined it for everybody else. And so anyways, right. It's $25 a month. I know that's a lot of money, right? It's huge. But but it's free for the first 30 days. You can check it out. You can get involved and see if it's for you. See if it's going to help, you know. And then we have another program that's $100 a month on top of that goes into not just the weekly get-togethers and discussions, but also daily accountability Monday through Friday each morning that can really set someone to be able to like move them so much faster towards whatever it is they're working on, whether it's overcoming addiction or whether it's trying to get a promotion at work or be a better husband or whatever it is. It doesn't matter. You choose what you want to be accountable for. We help you settle up and just be a better version of yourself. That's the key. And I like to call it a rising tide. Probably heard the phrase a rising tide raises all ships. That's what Rise Undaunted is. It's just a rising tide. So get in your boat, hop on that tide, and let's rise together and support each other every step of the way. It's so much fun to see all these men just becoming better, like getting better relationships with God and with themselves and with their spouses and their children. And it's so much fun.
And it is men, so it's over 18.
Correct.
But you are working on maybe a youth thing eventually, but you're trying to focus on just men right at the moment, right?
Yeah, now we're just working with men 18 and older. We have all ages. We have unmarried men. We have married men. We have divorced men. We have everything in between all over. We've got United States and Canada, and we're working on getting some groups down in South America and stuff as well. But like I said, it can be on Zoom or it can be local, whatever. So doesn't matter. Just join us, because the more you join, more people join, the more we can create these little groups all over the place. But yeah, we're working on a youth program because I feel like the scouting program was a pretty good youth program, but it's gone now. I feel like there needs to be something more than what the church provides. And these men are going to be able to mentor these young men, the men that I'm working with. So it's mostly just a group coaching atmosphere, but it's a lot of fun.
And is it for any man? Like they don't, or is it for addiction specifically or?
Nope. It's for any man who wants to change something in his life, period. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be anything. Like, I mean, if you think that you've got it all, then we probably don't want you to be in the group because you need to be humble enough to know that you need to change. We don't really want the prideful, conceited, toxic, masculine men in this group. So we'll probably kick you out if you join.
Is it like you talked about, like a safe place? Or is that kind of the idea? Like you talk about things that you might be afraid to talk about outside of a safe environment or.
That's a huge part of what Rise Undaunted is all about. It's about we create a safe space so that anyone literally can come in and be able to share. And like I said, it's in small groups, so there's not a lot of men there. But we all it's 100% unconditional love and acceptance. So no matter what someone is going through, they have that always. And confidentiality, 100% confidentiality. So there's never, nothing's ever going to be shared about what's going on there. And it's so powerful how having that space, that safe space with unconditional love, can actually heal the wounds, the things that we're going through. It's amazing because God literally is love. And so you provide, if you can be that source of love for someone else, you can actually help them heal. And it's so powerful. And it's amazing to see these men's lives change. Like I see just in a few weeks, massive changes in their relationships, in their finances, all areas, whatever it is they want to work on. And sometimes it's all areas of their life. They work on one thing and just everything gets better. And I'm like, wow, like it's just, it's truly true. You work on one thing and it helps with everything. But it's awesome. It's amazing. It's fascinating to watch. I feel like God, like when once I figured out like what I needed to do and did it, God was like, okay, you need to create a program so that you can help men do the same thing you did, but instead of it taking 4 years, it takes, you know, a much shorter period of time. You know, because you're guiding them through the process.
Yeah.
So,
I know that a lot of the time there's many men who are like, oh, I don't want to sit around and talk about my feelings. So what would you say to those men? I mean, because I assume that that's part of it, right? Is not maybe just your feelings, but just your struggles. Or do you guys have like something that you concentrate on each week where you're like, okay, this is what we're going to discuss. You know, how do you, I guess, how would you talk to the man who doesn't want to talk?
Right. So, I mean, most men don't want to talk. I'm just saying, like, this is pretty common here. but I think part of that is because they don't have a safe space. They're feeling like they're feeling judged, you know. But see, it's not just about feelings. It's just about being able to say, I'm struggling. You know, and there's all these other guys who are also struggling. Like you're not alone. Like everybody's struggling. But when you get into a group of men who actually are willing to admit that they make mistakes, that they have problems, like, oh, okay, well, geez, like we all have issues. Okay, no big deal. You know, it's not a big deal to admit that you do. That, like I still have issues, and I've been working on myself for years and years. And you know, I still share things that I'm struggling with. You know. And it's right. Not any better than anybody else, you know? So our whole goal is to become like God, right? How's that going to happen if we never are willing to admit that we're struggling with something? Like, it's just, it's so much harder to try and do it all by yourself.
It's kind of counterintuitive, actually, if you think about it.
Yeah. Well, that's why Satan gets us to think that we're the only ones struggling with it, right? Like he's telling us, no, you're the only one. You're a loser, man. You suck. Like, don't fail anybody. You know, like he's just telling us constantly in our heads, don't you dare say anything. Because he knows as soon as we start sharing it, we're going to realize, oh, everybody else is struggling with this too. Like if I had known that 70-80% of young men were struggling with pornography like me, I'm like, that would have been so much easier to deal with that burden. Right?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Right. But it makes it okay to go do it. It's just knowing that you're among other people who are dealing with the same thing. You're like, oh, okay. Satan, his greatest strength is secrecy and shame, right? Yeah. That's how he gets stronger, is he just tries to keep everything secretive and he tries to keep us feeling shameful. And so, you know, it sounds to me like this group that you've created, like you said, it's not just about the addictions and the struggles. It's also about the other areas of your life, maybe like your career or your education or your health or your relationships, anything that you're kind of feeling like you need a little bit more of a boost, like anything that you'd like to improve,
totally.
Right? You guys, I assume, have that camaraderie where you're able to kind of give each other advice, give each other support, hold that space of, you know, creation and just like leveling up. Exactly. Is that right?
That's exactly okay. Right.
So it's not like you're, it's not just like a boohoo fest, right? Like the men don't have to be worried about, oh, I'm going to go in there and everyone's crying. And I, it's not like that. It's just like, you guys are just creating plans and just taking actions to elevate each other and to elevate your own lives. Right.
Exactly. I feel like before we came to Earth, our Father in heaven, our Mother in heaven, and whoever, you know, our leaders, those we looked up to, sat down with us and helped us create a plan. Because just like he created a plan to build the world spiritually, and then Christ carried it out physically, right? I feel like he did the same thing for us, for each one of us. They sat down with us and said, what's the plan? Like, what do you want to do with your life? You know? Mm-hmm. And kind of helped us lay out a plan and find, you know, like, what purpose do you want to have? You know, like, obviously we learn about in the scriptures about foreordination, right? So we know that a lot of this stuff was already chosen for us to do. Well, I don't think it was a secret. I think it was like, yeah, we're going to do this, right? The only reason we think it's a secret is because we went through the veil and we forgot everything.
Right.
And so part of our purpose on Earth here is to discover what that is. Like, what was it that God and I sat down and figured out together what I was going to do? How was I going to make a difference? How was I going to change the world? Like, if you're still on this Earth, there's a reason you're still on this Earth. You're still alive because you think of how easy it would be to die at any moment, like car accidents, thousands of people were dying every day, like suicides every few seconds. Like, there's so many ways to die. If you're still alive, there's a reason for it. And you need to figure out what it is. And that's part of what we do in Rise Undaunted, is we help you to step into your authentic self. Who are you truly? Not who are you trying to please, or who are you trying to become because someone wants you to become that way? Someone expects you to do this or that. You know, who are you truly? You know, who is Trevor Henniger? Well, I look the way I look like because I feel like this is who I am. I feel like this is what my spirit looks like. So this is what I look like. It's my authentic self, right? So let's help you discover what that authentic self is. Let's help you figure out your purpose. What are you passionate about? What's your genius? What are you amazing at doing? Like, you're the best in the world at doing something. Do you know what that is? Most people don't have a clue what their genius is.
I like, love that perspective.
Yeah.
I never thought about that. I am the best at the world at something. I just don't know what it is yet.
Yeah.
probably annoying my husband. No.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
Figured it out.
But yeah. Like, so this is all of these things we discuss, and if men really want to level up, we always have an audiobook that we're going through. Now, they can choose if they don't want to go through the audiobook. That's fine. But it's pretty easy to listen to an audiobook on your way to work and back every day for a few minutes. And if these audiobooks are always teaching us something about whatever, you know, personal development type stuff so that we can become that better version of ourselves. You know, so if they really want to dig into that book, then they can really learn. And then that book might come up in some of these discussions, like, hey, guess what I learned from the book today, you know? And then it's like, oh yeah, that's so cool. Like, I learned something like that too. Like, you know, and it just creates this great discussion about how they're applying it to their life. And, you know, we're just all leveling up together, you know? So it's not just about these discussions. Like, when we get enough guys in your local area when you join us, because we only need 6 guys to create a local clan, like the Viking clan, right? So we create a clan, and then every month we get together and do something like fun. We call them feasts. We do feasts. So men love to eat, right? So we go and we go eat, whether it's like bringing food together or we go out to eat at a restaurant, go to a buffet, whatever. And we'll do something fun after. We'll go bowling or go shooting or whatever. You know, the guys kind of get to pick whatever they want to do as a group, and they go do it. They pick the date and the time and the place, and we go have these feasts. And it's just a ton of fun. Like, everybody needs a group of friends that they can go, that they trust with their life, and they just go have fun with, and they can share things with. And I'll tell you what, every marriage needs a group of men that the husband can be with. Every 100%. Marriage, because it improves that marriage. Because mm-hmm. if you want your husband, your man, to show up strong and whatever word you want to say, like healed, like someone who's mm-hmm. actually working on himself and becoming that man that you want to lead your children, mm-hmm. Then having a group of men who are all doing that together is, it's actually going to happen, right?
Yeah.
So it makes all the right. difference in the world.
Yeah. God, well, I love it, Trevor.
And like I mentioned earlier, you know, even Jesus had a posse, right? Mm-hmm. He had his own little clan. He had his own yeah. little,
exactly.
you know, group of men. And yeah. So if you're going to be Christ-like, go get yourself a group of guys to hang out right. with.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't have to be part of Rise Undaunted. You can do it yourself. Yeah. You know, we've just created this so that it's easy for men to plug in and go for it, you know, but if you mm-hmm. want to do it on your own, do it. Like it's life changing. It really awesome. Is. So,
yeah.
Cool. Well, thank you so much, Trevor. Can I ask, do you have any last thoughts? I always like to kind of ask about a testimony takeaway, like how has this whole story that you shared today and all of your perspective, you know, how has it really helped your testimony and helped you to understand who you are as a son of God? And then is there anything else that you'd like to leave with our listeners before we go?
It's a great question. I believe, like I said before, I believe that God really has a plan and for each one of us. And for me, being able to discover that plan, it's helped me grow up, get like President Nelson has been saying ever since he got made the prophet, basically, has developed that personal relationship with God. I didn't really have one before I learned to love myself and discovered what my purpose was. But now I can, I have that personal relationship with him, and I can more fully, like, he's just guiding me every step of the way. Like I could tell you like how unpassionate I was before. Like when I was like, I still work a job that I don't really like, I'm still driving truck, but I see the end result. I see like what's coming because I have so much more hope. I'm doing what I love. I'm passionate about. I'm making a difference in men's lives. I'm literally changing the world. But it's not me. It's like God helped me do this whole thing step by step. He gave me all the tools I needed. He helped me go through the process of everything that I know now. I know that he guided me through that whole process. And so it's helped me develop a better relationship with him and gain a stronger testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ, because the atonement of Jesus Christ is what truly helped me to go through that hard time when I was, you know, suicidal. Because I know that he suffered all of those things for me. It's not just sin. He didn't just pay for our sins. He also understands every struggle that we go through. And so understanding that more fully has completely changed my life. And I believe that, I know that he loves us unconditionally. And so that's allowed me to be able to pass on that love to others. And it's just completely changed my life. So I love it. Thank you for asking.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Trevor. We really appreciate having you on today and for you being so open and for giving us all of these great insights and perspectives. I am very, very excited to hopefully have some more men join the Rise Undaunted. And you said it's just riseundaunted.com.
Yep.
Okay, perfect. And we'll go ahead and we'll share that link and stuff like that in the description. And if anyone has any more questions or anything for you, what's the best way for them to get in touch? Should they go through your website or
media? I'm on Facebook, Instagram, Threads, TikTok, whatever. It's all Rise Undaunted.
Okay.
So you just look up Rise Undaunted or at Rise Undaunted or whatever. That's my, you know, tag or whatever on all of the social media. So shouldn't be too hard to find. Perfect. And I've got lots of videos and different things on there. So
awesome.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me, you guys. What's that, Scott?
I just want to, I think there are, well, when I was a bishop, I remember the stake president telling me a statistic, like you were saying earlier, about pornography. But I also, like, if you put yourself in the shoes of other people that are struggling with, you know, low self-esteem, marital problems, addiction, mm-hmm. all those things, and they don't have someone to talk to, they just bottle it up and they just, you know, like they do separate themselves from the rest of the world. And I love that you're giving men a place to go and not be alone.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I just think that's the coolest thing. And I just want to thank you for doing that. I mean, that's just a really cool thing that you're doing. And I think it's going to change a lot of people's lives and give men hope that don't have anywhere else to go. So mm-hmm. I just wish you all the best with your project. And I hope that if you're a man out there and you're struggling and you don't have somewhere where you can go that's safe, that you can just talk to other guys, go check this out. And I think it could really help you.
Yeah, even if you're not struggling, even if you do feel like you have some things, you know, that you're doing pretty well at, I feel like, you know, your group definitely could use all of the levels, right? Like the ones who've been there, done that, the ones who are doing it, the ones who might do it in the future. You know, like I think it definitely helps for everyone to be able to learn from different ages and stages and experiences. And so, yeah, just if you're a guy in general, just go check out Rise Undaunted, see what they're all about. I love that, you know, Trevor, you've offered a 30-day free trial where you guys can really just, you know, look into it and see what it's all about and see if it's something that, you know, would work well for you, or maybe it'll work well for another man in your life that you think, hey, maybe they could use this support, and then you have a resource to give them. So
for sure.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. The phrase I like to use is sometimes some men are going to be getting lifted and others are going to be doing the lifting, you know, and mm-hmm. we're all at different stages in our lives. We're mm-hmm. all like, it doesn't matter, you know, so we've actually had a lot of life coaches join Rise Undaunted recently because nice. They see the value in being able to help in a community atmosphere, not just one-on-one. How powerful that mm-hmm. community is when we're all helping each other. It's just so much more fun than trying to do it all by yourself, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Exactly. Thanks for having me on. You guys are amazing.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Yeah, we really, really appreciate it. And to all of our listeners, we appreciate you guys tuning in today as well and listening to Trevor's story. We're just Scott and I, we love doing this. So we've been doing this for over a year. How long have you been doing this for? A year and a half ish? Almost 2 years? Yeah. See, yeah. It's just going by so quickly, but Scott and I know every single story that's shared, we get uplifted and edified, and we just feel so good knowing that that there are people out there like Trevor who are willing to step up to the plate, who are willing to take their struggles and take their experiences and their stories and to be able to turn it into light and turn it into something beautiful and something that can help bring that joy and that happiness and that direction and purpose in life for one another's. And so I thank you guys as our listeners for tuning in and for supporting us and for supporting our guests. We really, really love, that sense of community. And so we're just going to ask that you guys continue to do so, that you do your 5-second missionary work. You go ahead and comment, you know, you can ask Trevor a question. You can comment on some of your favorite things, you know, insights or parts of his story, and then share his story, get it out there. There's definitely a need for men to be able to connect to one another and to rise up to their purpose that Heavenly Father has designed for them. So you just doing 5 seconds of missionary work, clicking that share button, that would help out tremendously.
Yeah. And if you have a story, go to latterdaylights.com and share with us and let's have you on the show.
Yep,
so once again, Trevor, thanks for being on.
Thank you.
And we will talk to you guys next week. Till then, we'll see you later. See ya.